96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 28th of August, 2024, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And that was Duke Hanna and his Caribbeans. It's a Wednesday, that means it's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday when we join the two shows to talk about what's in the news. Joining me this morning is Mr. C.A. Nuri. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. How are you doing, Aaron?
Good. How you do?
I'm smiling at headlines today, but I know we have a selected topic. But campaign finance reform. You think we ever get that?
Listen, I don't think we're going to get it. I mean, the chairman of the PLP party and the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the MP for Fox Hill said they ain't interested. I'm almost sure he said we don't even really need it. Like y'all kind of don't have nothing to do, eh?
That ends that.
Somebody said there are a number of things to talk about. Mr. Nuri, I'm looking for a story, and I don't have it at hand because it came to mind when you mentioned campaign finance reform. Perhaps it is in another paper. What are some of the other headlines? One of the headlines I had, aside from the land reform discussion.
I see there's an article on the business page with land reform also in The Guardian today.
Right, so to add to the stories, we have land reform bills game-changing. And in the business section, BRIA land reform consultation, a step in right direction. So there are a number of stories there. There is a story that speaks specifically to campaign finance reform, and I cannot believe, here it is. FNM leader says port has funded both major parties. Pintar GBPA fund claim is nonsense. This is the subheadline, because I thought to myself, if we had proper operation of the Public Disclosures Act, then we would be less concerned about campaign finance reform legislation because we would be able to trace or track contributions through public disclosures, possibly.
Do you think the PLP gets campaign funding from the Port Authority? No, man. If they did, our Prime Minister wouldn't have said that because he would be disingenuous.
I'm sure what the Prime Minister is going to say is that no Davis-led administration has ever received funding from the port. He may say, right? He may say that.
Should we ask him that?
Because a Davis-led administration is different from Davis-led opposition.
I appreciate that. Look where you're going, opposition. Yeah. But do you think our politicians, political parties, gets funding from the gaming industry? Number boy?
Yes.
Because I know there's a number of changes coming to benefit people in the gaming industry.
You mean things that were revealed in the IRCA reform consultation process?
Coincidentally, right? And I'm saying, I wonder if the funding to the political parties resulted in any of that, or influenced any of that.
Right. Had any impact on the decision-making within the party.
Would the headline say, Waterboy? Could the PLP be a Waterboy? That's using routine words being used.
I'm sure PLP would say, if anything, he's Waterman. We know Waterboy. Stop trying to emasculate big man.
Yeah, man. Just want to briefly touch on that. I just find these people being duplicitous.
Let's go to the other side. I find that foreign direct investors...
I like foreign direct investors.
And wealthy people...
I like wealthy people, too.
Entering the Bahamas...
Okay.
They equal opportunity investors. They're prepared to invest in any government.
And I believe they should invest...
Or opposition.
Both parties. Give us a donation. You want to do business here? Give us the donation.
And that's why a campaign finance reform regime would be great, because you would... submit the donation through an entity created to manage, right, the space, and to ensure that conflicts of interest are quickly identified and dealt with or resolved, right, before they impact good governance.
Did this administration in their campaign promise campaign finance reform?
Now, I could be honest with you, I'm not sure.
I don't remember. In 5 years, he's forget everything.
Yeah.
That may not be on the agenda in their plan.
But I tell you what, if it was not in their plan, Mr. Wayne Monroe would have told us, because he, as the leader of government business, has focused on reminding us of all the things that are not in the PLP manifesto blueprint for change. The numbers to call today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Oh, for Family Island residents, it is toll-free. Again, 242-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island residents. The text line is always powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. I'm constantly surprised by this Davis-led administration.
Surprise. Pleasantly surprised, I hope. Big things happening.
Yeah, so big things are happening.
Yeah.
And I am surprised at the extent to which the Davis-led administration machinates to forward their agenda as opposed to operates to forward their agenda.
One of the complaints in the 2017 and in the 2012 election was that the PLP did not promote their activities there. They needed better publicity.
Right.
And now you use the word machination. Machinate.
Machination.
Machination,
yeah.
Right? To suggest that they are propelling or focusing or flaunting what they have accomplished. Surely that's a good thing.
No, that ain't what I say, Endo.
I literally,
because I agree with the 2012 critique. There were a number of very good things that the PLP did, but didn't seem to think would be worth or worthy, right, of exposure for the sake of assuring the electorate that they are prepared to carry the mantle forward. In 2024, though, what I'm speaking about is, it seems, their ability to work around the rules. And then I realize it's a cultural attribute, right? It is something that we have retained from the times of enslavement, from the times of rank, and call it rank colonization, not like this light petty bourgeoisie colonization we experience in today, but rank colonization, where there was no straight line to justice, right? You had to tack your way to your goal. And now it seems we fail to realize that we are in charge. And that being in charge is not the right or the ability to do whatever you want, but being in charge is the responsibility of ensuring that what ought to be done is done. I was thinking today about the fact that the Parliamentary Human Rights Committee has not been sued yet. However, the Attorney General announced 2 weeks ago that the government has prepared its ICJ, climate change, as a human rights issue proposal. Mm. And they've sent it off, right? And it's as if the government wants the world to think that they have a strong grasp and are focused on human rights. But there's no actual movement on the ground to create human rights mechanisms and entities.
Once upon a time, there was a former, it's not director of communication. What was he?
Press secretary?
Press secretary. Who said, our prime minister speaks one way for the foreigners and speaks another way for local Bohemians.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps this is one of those examples where there's a language being told, said, for those who live abroad, whereas here, locally, it's something completely different.
Because I wonder what are the conversations, particularly in the foreign affairs space, right? What are the conversations like abroad around campaign finance response? And are they the same as the conversations that take place locally? Like, ain't nobody interested in that. You think because they is talking about that, we interested in that?
Mm.
Right? And it raised a number of other issues. But the thing about what I meant about machination is that we have a number of mechanisms, some of them constitutionally provided, to ensure good governance, to aid any administration in the provision of good governance and ensuring national security. But the state appears to be refusing to engage those mechanisms. And the excuse that will be laid on the table is, oh, you know, it slipped. We did not properly constitute those entities, like the Parliamentary Human Rights Commission, like a number of other entities. And when they're not, it's a number of other entities, like the Office of the Data Commissioner, Freedom of Information Act, and we look at Public Disclosure Act, and there were a number of other boards or entities, agencies, that have not been properly constituted since the beginning of the Davis administration and have not been able to carry out their function. Of course, I will add to this the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, signed between the PLP, Davis-led opposition, and the, at the time, two trade congresses. I have a text here that says, the Prime Minister needs to stop playing games. Prime Minister Davis needs to be the water boy for the island of Eleuthera. But I tell you what, he needs to be the water boy for more than the island of Eleuthera, but given the weight of the investment made in Eleuthera, given the measure of resources diverted to Eleuthera to ensure the smooth and sustainable opening of Disney's Lighthouse Point, surely it must be a priority for the Davis-led administration to ensure that infrastructural needs and basic utilities and essential services are available to the people of Eleuthera in the same way he's obligated to ensure that they're available to residents across the archipelago. Again, I'm really interested to hear from Family Island listeners. 242-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island residents. What's going on in the Family Island? Somebody reminded me yesterday that if you think it rough in Nassau, Nassau is like a paradise compared to the infrastructural struggles people are dealing with on the island of Andros, on the island of Eleuthera, on the island of Mayaguana, on the island of islands of Exuma, the islands of Abaco, across the board. across the board. Which leads me to Mr. Newey. I think I just want to draw the audience's attention to a letter to the editor in today's Tribune written by Ms. Pam Burnside, one of the founders of Creative Nassau. The letter is titled, Must Demand to Be Our Own Masters. It's a bit of a long read, but I think it is worth it for everyone to take a read. And if the editor of the Tribune is listening, and I hope you are, please ensure that this letter is uploaded to your digital web space. It starts, as the month of August enters its last week, I submit another letter for consideration, whilst also noting with measured anticipation the recent pronouncements from government entities demanding and promising greater efficiency and accountability from their various agencies. Some readers might consider me, quote, anti-foreign, close quotes, based on my many musings, but as my mother used to say, quote, child, it's a free world, close quotes, to each hold our own opinions. I'm proud to be a, quote, born, bred, and gedad, close quotes, Bahamian, with a relentless love of my country and people first and foremost. I'll move on in the letter. This letter is a call to action for we, the people, to advocate for and demand the opportunity to be the masters of our own fate. Isn't that the purpose of independence and the goal of being a sovereign nation? Pause to examine the word sovereign, because as a former colony of Britain, we certainly know what that encompasses. In fact, as a member of the Commonwealth, the Bahamas is still under the rule of His Majesty. The National Honors Act was introduced in 2016 after many years of advocating and protesting for it by a noble group of relentless warriors such as Father Sebastian Campbell, who would not let that deficiency rest. Thanks to him and others, including the present Minister of Foreign Affairs, they finally got their wish, but without the corresponding discontinuance of British honors, which many Bahamians still scramble to attain by wishing on that golden British star. To my way of thinking, this is a disgraceful indictment of, quote, our own things, close quotes, and deeming them not good enough. She goes on to say, I was aghast to see our Minister of Works and Family Island Affairs pleading in the press for water, the elixir of life, to be provided to the people. This is totally unacceptable, and I say, good for you, residents of Harbour Island, march relentlessly and demand your rights. The present BPL debacle is another such example. We are and have been experiencing an unconscionable lack of resolution of these problems for much too long, with too many hot air speeches signifying nothing, as negotiations happen behind closed doors with a total lack of transparency and accountability. I've also found in my myriad dealings with various utility companies that amongst the Bahamian workers that have been employed at these companies for years are the very ones with the intimate knowledge of our systems who can offer solutions on how best to correct them if given the opportunity and the resources to do so. We have many highly skilled Bahamians right here in our midst, but do not respect their talents nor appreciate what they can bring to the table. Why? Because of petty jealousy and spite, stupid politics, favoritism for FF and L's, that's friends, families, and lovers, or the insecurity and ignorance by the powers that be who still believe that foreign is better. These attitudes are killing our country. Emancipate your mind and let meritocracy rule. Use the best person for the job. Listen to their advice and apply it and pay them what they are worth, period. That is not the full letter, some brief excerpts. I think everybody should take a read. Here's a text. Someone is speaking internationally about Bahamas campaign finance. The text has sent me an excerpt. They say it is from the Tribune, July 19th of this year. The U.S. has accused the government of stalling the full enactment of anti-corruption laws that would accelerate improved transparency and accountability in Bahamian governance. The U.S. State Department, in its just released 2024 Investment Climate Report on the Bahamas, cited campaign finance reforms and the creation of an integrity commission as two initiatives that have been delayed to leave this nation exposed to the threat of corruption and undue foreign influence in policymaking decisions. Another text. The text says, look here, Long Island has water issues too. It's terrible. Government has to do better. Yeah. Thank you, Texter, for putting that on the table. Long Island, although it does not have, like we call an anchor project, right? A major foreign direct investment project of the likes of Disney's Lighthouse Point, Long Island and its tourism industry and its ability to sustain itself is severely and detrimentally hampered by these water issues. Producer, let's go to the phone line before I go to the article, Changes Afoot for BPL Board. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning, sir.
Yes, y'all were talking about the campaign financing, and I had commented on the radio before on more than one occasion about that international campaign donations that political parties here are able to receive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as if that is the most important part of that campaign financing that I feel as if the reforms need to come to, you know, because when you look at these political parties and they have their manifestos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they seldom, if ever, fulfill the things that are in the protocol, I mean, in the manifestos, right? What I notice is that over the course of their governance, they pass laws and reform laws that are nowhere in their manifestos. So you have to ask yourself, well, where do they get these things from? Where's the motivation coming from? You know, why is it necessary to do these things? And it's because of those same contributions that they receive from contributors. You understand? Because you have to ask yourself, during the Christie administration, when they passed that stem cell to do, right? What was the motivation? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
What was the motivation? So you see, we the public need to understand that through contribution, wealthy individuals get our government to do what's in their best interest, what's in the wealthy individual's best interest, which totally contradicts
Colin,
that, therefore.
Let me frame it differently. Without the operation of the entities provided to ensure integrity of the system, we have no way to determine what foreign contributions are. We have no mechanism to warrant or to obligate the state to explain to the people what the contributions are for, right? And we certainly have no measures in place and no cultural. We haven't developed a culture, right, of transparency that would cause political parties to see it as a normal part for the course, that we would explain these things, not just to our party supporters, but to the electorate at large.
Yes, ma'am. I totally agree with you, Ms. Green. I mean, you know, we have a culture of lack of oversight. You know, I mean, this country is run in a very unprofessional manner, ma'am, in terms of we don't keep proper data. You know, when you go online to look up certain things related to the Bahamas, you can't find any information. You know, but when you look at other countries, you could find all type of things. You understand where I'm coming from? So, and mm-hmm. I wonder, like, how exactly does this country really function?
Well,
you know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm.
and the thing about it, too, is that, like how you were saying, ma'am, the public really needs to understand this. You see, because,
mm-hmm.
you see, when individuals contribute, because if I have an idea, Ms. Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's for the best interest of the public and society at large, right?
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to, like, be lobbying. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to be getting any kind of, like, quid pro quo type of, like, trying to bribe individuals to get my idea to come true. If you understand where I'm coming from, if it's in the best interest of the people, I shouldn't have to go through all that. You know what I mean? So when we see individuals contributing to political parties, we must understand as a public that they are not doing it for our best interest. You know the kind of way? I'm... we hear our political leaders and stuff talking about banks nowadays, right? And they have the power to do whatever the banks. But then if chances are, if you were to look over the governance of both parties, F&M and PLP, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will see where they pass legislation to benefit banks. You understand? So don't mind them talking, because if whoever, Mr. Mitchell or whoever, gets up and speaks publicly like against the bank, that's only for us. That's only for us. That's politics. That's only for us, because me, the man who run the bank, no, Mr. Mitchell, only talking. Because on paper, he doing differently. You know what I mean? He's not, and we, the public, can witness this, because, you know, laws being passed to curb what the bank's doing, only talks being issued to us. You know what I mean? And I hate when our political leaders speak as if they are powerless. Oh, we need to do this, and, you know,
absolutely,
this need to happen around here, and, you know, this is the direction the country should go. And, you know what I mean? They talking like us.
Thank you, caller. Listen, I got another caller on the line. You made some really good points. One thing that comes to mind is, in terms of campaign finance reform, how is it that political parties, Mr. Newry, but the average Bahamian business person, it's a very, very difficult to get foreign investment, right? As the government could get foreign investment, and the political parties could get foreign investment, but the ropes that the average Bahamian has to go through to get foreign investment is ridiculous.
I always wonder, how is the money transferred? Does it go from one bank account to the next bank account, or is it like a bag of money?
From the foreign direct investor?
Yeah. Because I know they're donating.
They don't have, that, because I was going to say, like, for major projects, they don't have bags big enough to send the money in cash. Mm. Right? But I don't know about political contributions.
For T-shirts and things. For T-shirts.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
And jackets. And school bags.
In this, yeah.
Yeah. Bag money, you think?
Oh, boy. I too young. Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let me off the side porch. I only heard about bag men.
Okay.
Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Please, could you not try and give my cousin a headache? It's too early.
I'm just trying to find out if it's a bag.
Mr. Neary, it's not bag. It's bags.
It's bags.
Good on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
Like the general was talking about oversight in the Bahamas, what these governments just do. I don't think it's oversight. I think in the Bahamas we have a culture of secrecy, because you would see them make statements about things that happen and persons that are known to, and you would see them withhold the names,
mm-hmm,
as if it's a big secret. You would see, even when you have like minor children, like 16, 18, committing crimes,
mm-hmm,
right? And they hide the children's face as if it's a crime for you to see who this child is. And knowing that this child has already done a few other crimes. So rather than them saying, okay, this is the person, it's like a secret for them. They can't show the face. I could understand the fact that the child is a minor. However, that minor child is committing adult crimes. You understand? So in this country, we have a huge culture of secrecy. That's why they don't want you to know who giving them the money. Because if you know who giving them the money, and then you go want to question, how is it that you're getting money from this person? And we all know what this person do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Or what they used to do. Or what they used to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
You understand? So they don't want that to be out there. And if we start off on this campaign finance reform, on freedom of information, the things that we would know, I think, would shock this nation to the core.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
so
ma'am.
They don't want that kind of a shock, because I think it would throw all of the political parties, even those to come,
in an uproar,
under some serious scrutiny. And they don't want the world to know what has happened. So they are trying to find a way to start it off from 2024 moving forward. Because they don't want you to go back into their history.
You think they will wipe the slate clean?
They were, like Prime Minister Davis said when he was in opposition, when he was asked the question about the fired Bamzi on the, when Menace came in 2017, he said, listen, elections come to wipe your slate clean.
That's what they say, hey.
That's
politicians say all manner of foolishness. Thank you so much, cousin.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much for your contribution. Two things came up for me, Mr. Nuri. You know what I realized?
What did you realize?
I'm 48, it's 2024, and these people really think they could run a whole Commonwealth of the Bahamas without acknowledging, referencing, taking into the drug era, the legacy of the drug era, and the impact of the drug era on the Bahamas. That's what I realized, because we do have a culture of secrecy, and it's nothing to hide, right? We must do. We come from a drug era, not so long ago. And I just realized that these people really think that they can govern, that people can be governable without intersecting, without referencing, without acknowledging the impact of this major thing. That while it wasn't the entirety of the Bahamas, it wasn't the entire Bahamas, it was sufficient to impact the culture, the politics, the economics, even the language of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I have a text that says, dear Aaron, you are asking for too much. You seeking for this government to solve first world challenges like enacting the Freedom of Information Act, campaign finance reform, whistleblower protection act, universal basic income act, or legislation for an ombudsman when we are still trying to keep the light and water on in this country. You have spent too much time in England, the Bahamas. Dear texter, first of all, good morning. Second of all, I love this text. Third of all, let's talk about it. I am seeking for this government to solve first world challenges. Perhaps I am. And as long as they're receiving first world paychecks, as long as they're receiving first world perks, as long as we can take groups of singers to London to stay at the Savoy for the Golden Jubilee, but not see fit to explain to the Bahamian people exactly how much the Golden Jubilee cost, yes, I'm going to keep asking for that much. The second thing is, you think I spend too much time in England? Have you sat with the political class once or twice? Thirdly, you know, we're talking about a culture of secrecy. Do you know we have an ombudsman?
We do.
We have a financial services ombudsman. Did you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're having a whole conversation about banking reform or demands for banking reform, right? In today's Tribune, we have that story. It's a follow-up story. I think yesterday's paper, Minnis is supporting Pintard's push for banking reform. And I'm not sure that I saw the term financial services ombudsman before, because banking is a financial service, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it only a financial service for foreigners, and it is an essential service for Bahamians? Where does the financial services ombudsman sit in this conversation about banking reform? Why is it that the opposition has raised this matter? Now, mind you, the MP for Fox Hill has been a consistent voice, right, calling for banking reform. But I've never heard the Minister of Foreign Affairs call for banking reform.
Because it should be the Minister of Finance?
No. The banks are foreign banks.
But the bank,
even the one called the Bank of the Bahamas, is a foreign bank.
Yeah, but it operates on the finance and the central bank.
It doesn't matter. They're foreign. What's best is that the banks that operate here cannot operate this way in their own countries. Surely, I should be hearing calls for reform from the Minister of Foreign Affairs versus the MP for Fox Hill. We got a caller on the line. Producer, let's go to the caller, and then we're going to transition to land reform. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, ma'am.
This is the first time I'm going to announce my name on the air, and this is the second time I'm calling you since I was listening to your show from the last year.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with you 100%, and my name is Sheila Moxie.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with you 100%. What you need to do now, my dear, is to offer yourself and join one of these parties. Who knows that the Lord has a place for you at the top of the ladder as Prime Minister of this Bahamas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I received that. But I just want y'all, if y'all let me join Adiana PLP, if y'all let me sit in
what
the...
You mean Adiana PLP?
Sit in the party of the descendants of Flora Hannah. I just saying. Good morning. Okay, Miss Nuri.
Didn't we fire Adiana? Well, ask him, say, okay, you resign first and I resign second. And then he resigned. He said, ha, 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 gotcha. Then this is a different thing. Go ahead. Let's change topic.
Because I love that joke.
We got to go to land reform.
I love that joke. I love it. I think it's great. Because sometimes people who have honor resign as opposed to sitting lotion-grown men who don't know that.
And just got to sit and watch your party.
Poor women sell Avon to support their children.
And be happy that they invite you back to be governor general.
Ah, oh my. One day, someone will take Adiana's PLP somewhere where it will flourish.
Yes. Plan to see it.
There you go. So, Mr. Nuri.
Yes.
Crown land reform.
Yes.
We have a today's paper and over the last week. I know this is an important conversation.
Yeah, and the goal is to have Bahamians participate, to be involved in this national discussion on what is it that we want this land reform to be,
mm-hmm.
right? And how does that impact us who have generation property?
Have access to generational property.
With that.
Yeah.
And then us who have crown land.
Who have access to crown land.
And I
want to say that, I say that intentionally, right?
No, I understand.
Yeah.
And then us who... family are on commonage with like Exuma, Eleuthera.
Harbor Island. Yeah, Eleuthera is Harbor Island.
And,
I got it right here. Hold on.
Harbor Island, Spanish Wells. And I think
Rock Sound, Mount Thompson, and Ramsey. Commoners rules. I don't know where Mount Thompson, I won't say either Exuma or Long Island, but that's because I'm ignorant.
They have commonage land, which is different, right? And I want to know how this land reform impacts them. What is the objective of it? And this is why I think that we need to do a critical analysis on it.
Mm-hmm.
Read what is being said in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Do an interrogation of that. And then when the town hall meeting happens, right, we can say, Mr. Minister, those who are in charge, I have issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like this. I support this. Can you kindly explain this better?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what today's objective is.
Well, the reform is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, we know that.
A. B. Because we're living it, right? C. In my attempt to do research in a brief amount of time, you know, I couldn't identify a specific act that speaks to the operation of generational property. I couldn't find a specific official space that declared that this is custom versus vested in ordinary legislation, right? I couldn't find anything. I don't know if the government website down.
So what we can start off, and I'm not sure if you were able to get it in notes, what is, like definitions, what is generational property? Is there such, because I remember there is a senior land developer.
Mm-hmm.
Who says there's no such thing as generation property,
mm-hmm.
right? And that too needs to be interrogated. Is there such a thing as generation property in the Bahamas, or it's a misnomer?
Well, let's start here. There must be a thing such as generational property, because the big law firms. One of the things I found quickly was an article on how to acquire generational property. So it must exist if you could acquire it.
We'll start there after the commercial break.
Absolutely. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on this Wednesday. Man Down Mashup Session, where we combine the two shows. And for the next hour and 15 minutes, we're talking land reform. If you have experience, please, we would like you to share your experience. But if your matter is before the courts, be very careful not to expose the details of the matter, you know, like the intricate details of the matter.
On that Chipman building, I mean, a Chipman property by Awaki. All of that.
Yeah.
All that.
All those things.
We'll be right back.
It's time for Guardian Radio and AML's second annual back-to-school snackathon. We are accepting donations at the Register of Solomon's Fresh Market and Cost-Right locations in both. And with your donation, you can make a difference to a family and a child going back to school with the gift of snacks. No amount is too small, and if you are a My Solomon Smart Rewards member, consider donating your points. So let's come together and make this school year unforgettable. Donate today and help us make a difference in the lives of children across the Bahamas. Promotion ends September 5th, 2024.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and we are talking land reform. Nuri, let me throw these texts out just before we transition. Good morning, Man Down Mashup. This country is not going anywhere despite the increase in tourism arrivals, despite offshore. The United States, the Bahamas is behind in governance. Local government, tax reform, equal rights for women. The Bahamas is behind in all these areas, a foreigner said for Fidel Castro. Said, but for Fidel Castro, the Bahamas would not have the success in tourism either. Another text says, as I watch U.S. politics and see how they are discussing the donors to parties, they are listing names off. Never in the Bahamas. All right. So, land reform. The discussion was prompted by two articles in Monday's paper. They are, government releases land reform bill, starts consultation. That's the Nassau Guardian. The Tribune's article, consultation launched on land reform. Right? And then I found this article, Mr. Nuri, man seeking to sue government over land where $290 million hospital is to be built. And then we move on to an article I found, Generational Property in the Bahamas, How to Acquire Documentary Title. Excerpts from two articles or essays by Nicolette Bethel. One is called On Land, 25th of August, 2003. And the second is titled On Generation Property, is how she's titled it, 15th of May, 2004.
Okay, I see, which I Googled, is a definition by LennoxPayton.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, in the Bahamas, generational property is land owned by many descendants of the original landowner.
Right. It goes on, the following issues, among others, commonly arise in relation to generational property. One, there is no documentary title holder of the land. Two, the land often cannot be sold. Three, there is often no certainty of ownership of a particular plot, lot, or tract of land. And four, legal title to the land cannot be passed from one person to another. With these issues in mind, the article continues, with these issues in mind, how can documentary title to generational land be acquired? In short, to acquire documentary title to generational land, the applicant must do so through adverse possession. So that's a brief description of generational property. If we go to the letter, the essays by Nicolette Bethel, she says, for those people who may not know what generation property is, it is the system of owning land communally. In most cases, though the system varies according to families and islands, anyone who is descended from the original owner of the land or who carries his name has the right to live on the land in question.
Wait, hold on, sorry. Who carries his name?
That's what is...
But what does that mean? I don't understand. No, I found out, I mean, I appreciate descendants of them.
Right.
But that, and who carries his name changes the initial point. Read that again for me so I can dishear it. Sorry for me. Sorry about that.
Right. In most cases, though the system varies according to families and islands, anyone who is descended from the original owner of the land or who carries his name has the right to live on the land in question.
You see why I got concerned there?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who's changed their name. I ain't talking about people who are descendants of the initial person.
Okay, you're talking about the deed poll process.
Me? I just saying they have happened to have the same name.
I thought you were raising a nuance or a question about the fact that I may carry your name. For instance, I may be your adopted son.
Hmm.
Or I may be your stepson and I carry your name. But I am not actually a genetic descendant. I'm not a descendant from your family line.
Interesting. Anyway, go ahead.
If we continue, this right is passed on to new generations at birth. The best known example of Bahamian generation property is that of the former estate of Lord John Rolle in Exuma. Lord Rolle was a wealthy loyalist who, when he left the American mainland, moved many of his slaves to the estate in Exuma, awarded to him by the British Crown. When the cotton plantations failed rather than bear the expense of resettling the slaves, Rolle cut his losses and left the plantations to those slaves and their descendants. Now, this was written 21 years ago.
Yes, because that narrative has been corrected. Because he didn't leave any land for the slaves.
So how was the land that is now considered...
They claimed the land because he abandoned the land and they claimed the land and lived there over a long period of time, which made it theirs.
What type of time are we talking about?
From slavery.
So we're talking about 200 years, 150 years.
Yes. But he didn't leave any land for the slaves.
Okay.
Years later, they found a will where he actually deeded to his son. But that's something different altogether.
Are the heirs of the son engaged in any legal...
They abandoned the land.
No problem. The sons, you're saying the sons abandoned the land?
Well, that whole family abandoned. Right. They all left. They got compensated. And they left the Bahamas.
Oh, so no, they got compensated for but not for the land. So back to the article from Lennox Patton, Generational Property in the Bahamas, How to Acquire Documentary Title. It says, in short, to acquire documentary title to generational land, the applicant must do so through adverse possession. Three elements must be present to prove adverse possession, according to this article. One, the applicant must be in factual possession of the land. Two, the applicant must have an intention to possess the land. And three, the applicant must be in possession of the land for a sufficient length of time. The article goes on to answer several questions. What constitutes factual possession? What constitutes intention to possess the land? What constitutes sufficient length of time? And then, of course, quieting petition is the last.
And I find that interesting. I'm not sure if Bahamians are aware. Like, there are a number of land in Ackland, as you know,
right,
shared by descendants.
Right.
And let's turn out the name, let's say Delavaux,
mm-hmm,
owned the land. And one Delavaux family was able to carve out, fence in a portion of the land, and then claim it. What do you call it, adversely?
Yeah, adverse possession.
Adverse possession. And then they claim this section.
Right.
Of the land by possessing it.
And then did they acquire the title by true adverse possession?
Yes,
right.
So they acquired the title. Then they go on and do the next piece for the next piece and acquire that too. Then they go on to the next piece and acquire that too.
Right. So it's not, it's this quieting of titles, this adverse possession,
yes,
is available for family members. So you could be a part of the generation,
yeah,
gain access to the land, and then take the steps to, over time, acquire it so that you can hold a legal land title for it.
For your specific family, not for the entire.
Right. And then you can go to the bank and get loans on it.
And develop it. Yes.
All right. So today we're looking at the land reforms, and we're looking at five, six sort of sublines. Crown land, generational property, commonage land, squatters' rights, quieting titles act, immovable properties act, International Persons Holding Land Holding Act,
yes,
right? So these are all things for consideration. We invite you to call in. What do you think land reform should look like in the Bahamas? What do you think is the most detrimental, are the most detrimental issues that need to be reformed, approached? Do you already have a way forward, suggestions? Please call in. We would love to hear.
And we must also appreciate that bygone years, there's a number of families who have owned land, had title to the land, and who has left, abandoned the Bahamas over centuries.
Right.
There's no clear title
to the land.
To the land. Their descendants have abandoned it, don't know it exists.
So I want to throw something on the table right now. How does the public feel about this idea? Land that has been left abandoned in that way, where there is no clear title to the land, should that land be put in like a national lottery, in a lottery, so that randomly individuals are selected to bid on the land?
Well, that could be the idea. But now I think this land reform is about the state being able to reclaim these land, to be able to become crown land and to be able to be sold or make available to Bahamians.
You think that's the rationale for the land reform? Not just simply because it is a mess, it needs to be resolved, there needs to be clarity, there are three spaces that create ambiguity, and there are a number of matters that need to be, land matters that need to be resolved. You're saying that this, you think the rationale behind the land reform is for the state to be able to like do a survey, a land survey, determine land inventory available to them for the purpose of investing or making available to the Bahamian public?
I think in the future, you'll see that crown land will be used as surety in terms of there's be a dollar value for it.
So, I mean, when you say that, what comes to mind immediately is the National Investment Fund Act.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, and they talked about the sub-funds, and they talked about a management fund. So land would be identified and essentially put in the fund for the fund to extract economic value from it.
There you go.
Another term the Prime Minister used was debt for nature swap.
Mm.
I am now concerned, Mr. Newry, after you raised the potential that the entire land reform is a part of a process of the government conducting a land inventory survey for the purpose of determining what land is available to the government, not for the purpose of providing crown land for the Bahamian people, but for the purpose of putting into a fund or a mechanism to realize a debt for nature swap.
That could be a conspiracy. But this is what we may interrogate.
I mean, I just want to say, in these last 3 seconds of my hour, I feel umbrage and upset that you would use the word conspiracy like that when it's the Prime Minister who's used the word debt for nature swap twice.
Alone, man.
And it is the office of the Prime Minister and the Davis administration
Stop
that has
it.
Talked about
Stop it.
Replacing the Sovereign Wealth Fund model with the National Investment Fund Act, because the IMF says it's a better model and it will allow them to extract value for the land for the purpose of infrastructural upgrades, among others, but possibly for a debt to nature swap.
And hopefully we'll be able to invite Ms. Carla Sweeten to come on, just to give her to give her viewpoints on these things.
Absolutely.
You know, so it should be good.
Right.
Bahamas so, Real Estate Association President.
When we open up on the next side of this break, we're going to get to the text, and then we're going to get to the two articles, land reform.
And hopefully a definition for commonage. Because we got one for generational land. Yeah. And then we need a definition for commonage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.